Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I am your proud host, Frankie D. And as always, we can be heard at www.italianamericanlife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, and your podcast app. Today, my guest is John Conenda, the owner of Venus Travel at 7418 West Belmont Avenue in Chicago, and the co-host of Domenica Insieme, an Italian radio show that is also streamed as well. John, welcome to the show.
Frank, this is a pleasure. I finally got a chance to meet you. I was hoping to do this a year ago to meet you and your family. You come well respected, and a lot of people talk about you.
Well, thank you so much. And I love we're doing it at John's Travel Agency, which I love a travel agency. Okay. It's exciting. I'm sure for you every day. I always felt because you have all these brochures about going everywhere in the world, maps of Italy and all that stuff, and it's just great.
I kind of left it old school.
I like that. You know what? It's kind of a reminder as a kid. Because I was thinking on the way here, I know there's not many travel agencies left. Right. You guys have been around since 1968.
Yes.
But honestly, in this area, which I'm born and raised, when I was a child, there was many Italian travel agents.
Frank, good case in point, there were 7 on Belmont Avenue at one time, and I can remember all of them.
Which really just shows you how many Italians lived in this area, Harlem Avenue area, back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, it was one of the reasons why my father opened up on this side. You are correct.
Yes. Well, tell us about your Italian roots.
Okay, well, my mom and dad are from a small seaport town in Mola di Bari. The town is called Mola di Bari. They were both from there. I visited it from 1960. I was born in 60. So in 61, I went there the first time. Matter of fact, we're going to have
1 year after birth?
Yeah, 1 year after birth. There's a picture up there that I want you guys to take a picture of. And I went there like 13 summers in a row.
Excellent.
You know, but only to Mola di Bari. So I used to tell my dad, hey, I'm getting a little tired of this. I would like to see Italy now. I thought Bari was Italy, but yeah. No.
Did you guys have a house or you went to see grandparents?
Yeah, our grandparents were there. So we would always, you know, stay there.
Well, that had to be a very nice growing up experience.
Growing up experience, yeah.
Absolutely.
And my aunts and my 3 cousins still live there. And got a chance to visit them in 2018, this past September, after not being there after all this time from 34 years ago. So it was kind
of you had a 34-year gap of going to Italy, but you went so many times that I could see it. Were you able then to go to Rome and see other spots?
Yes. Matter of fact, went there a few times, and then in 16, I did a Rome, Sicily, because my wife, Connie, is from Cefalù. She was born in Cefalù. So I had to make the wife happy and go to Rome and then go to Cefalù. And we didn't go to Bari. But then I says, okay, now it's my turn. We got to go to Bari before.
Have your children been to Italy then?
Yes. Both of them have been to Italy 3 times.
And they like it?
No, yeah, they like it. They now they always say, when are we going to Italy again?
That's great. That's wonderful that you exposed Italy to them. Great. So, Venus Travel opened in 1968 by your father.
Yes.
Now, 68, so you were 8 years old.
I was 8 years old.
How did your father come to open up a travel agency, and then when did you get involved?
Yeah, Frank, when he came here, in 1948 the first time. And at that time, he was working in a bank called Mid-City National Bank at Madison and Halstead, eventually became MB Financial. But he worked in a bank from 48 to 68. And what he would do, he's an accountant by trade. He was a CPA. But for some reason, he loved travel. And what he did was he farmed out the travel to a travel agent, Italian travel agents at that time.
At the bank itself?
Yeah. Well, what he would do is he would leave the bank at 3 o'clock, the old banker's hours term, from 9 to 3. He had a small office that he rented in the 50s at Chicago and Hamlin.
Wow.
And what he would do at night, he would do taxes, these Italian procuras, people that were getting married. He would send packages to Italy if he had to send a package there. And then if somebody was going to Italy, they would say, Mr. Conenna, especially if the Italian people who couldn't speak English, how do you know anyone that, you know, we can buy the tickets from? And he would farm it out to some of those agents of that era. And he, for some reason, just loved it, built up this following part-time. And then I remember I was 8 years old, and he came home and he told my mom, I'm leaving the bank. I want to do this full-time. I thought my mother was going to have a heart attack.
Well, because you had a sure job, and sure. It's a gutsy move, and it's sure. A risk, you know, opening your own business. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah. And it was my mom was just like, okay, you know, what is this going to lead to?
And it's still here today.
Yeah, and he built it up from 6 years.
So how did you get involved?
Well, it was like 1977. I was going to Holy Cross High School, and I would come in part-time after school, get here about 3 o'clock. He would tell me to go to the Italian consulate to go pick up the Piero passport, for example, or the Carnivale.
So you were going down there a lot.
Yeah.
It was always down there, 500 North Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, I think they were at the 400 building, then they moved to 500 by the Marriott. And I remember back in those days, you could go get a passport in person for, let's say, Frank DePiero and Ivana. You could go get that passport. But now, of course, times have changed. And then I would deliver airline tickets back in those days because they were paper airline tickets. So I was constantly in my car. Okay, you have to go here. You have to go there. Don't forget to go by this restaurant. Pick up this money. So I was basically the gopher for Venus Travel.
And what do you think the percentage was of Italian clients that you had?
Oh, my God. I have to say, back in those early days of my father, I would say it was like about 60% were Italian. I want to tell you, as Italian as he was, because a lot of people to this day, Frank, say, why Venus Travel? Why wasn't it called, let's say, for example, Conenna Travel? My dad wanted to get away from that market and make it a full-service travel agency where you're selling.
So he didn't want to limit himself to just being.
Yes,
so I never thought of that. Why was it called Venus?
Yeah, Venus. We had a matter of fact, when that name was picked in 68, it was picked by a girl down the street from us on our block. We put a bunch of names in a hat, and I think it was my sister who wrote Venus Travel, and the little girl picked out Venus, and my dad says, we're going with it.
And you've had the same logo.
The same logo since 1968.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, that's how it all started.
So you were helping, you were working here, you went to college.
Yeah.
And then?
And then, little by little, I actually wanted to be a, I just love what you're doing still to this day. I wanted to do like sports on the radio. And I'll never forget this, and it's a little story, Frank, if you don't mind me telling you. We had a great newscaster here in town named Diane Burns for many years here.
Channel 7. Yes, I remember Diane
and,
Burns.
I was just going to do an internship with her down in Sandwich, Illinois. I was going to read a ticker about the weather in Sandwich, and she was going to do the news. We were both going to do it on the radio part. But because of a family problem, I never did the internship, meaning, you know, to go to these classes. And I still to this day never forget when Diane Burns told me in 1983, I just got signed by ABC for $90,000 a year. And I remember my dad paying me the minimum $11,000.
Yeah, Diane Burns made it very big.
But that's how it all started. I was going to Loyola, and then every summer I would tell my mom, because my mom had to hear from me after a day with Vincenzo Conenna, I would say, Mom, I'm not working there next summer. There's no way.
And you know what? It's very difficult to work for your father. I know from experience, I did the same thing, and it can be a nightmare.
You can relate.
It can be a nightmare, and you can start butting heads. And,
we
had some rock'em sock'em.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I said this from 1977, and I think I had to be like Rocco's age when I started here, 17, 18. And I would say to her, next summer I won't be there. So I always say to people, when people say, how long have you been here, which is now 41 years, I said, 1977 is the summer I never left.
Wow.
I'm still
so here. How did you stay?
Little by little, I went from the gopher delivery boy to basically learning the business, you're really kind of pushing myself to learn it. And then, you know, Frank, in the conversation that I had with you the other day really hit home. What stuck with me was when you see that sign and when you run into people at funeral and weddings and, yeah, that pride kind of just like, okay, you know.
It's your father's legacy. Right. It's continuing something.
Right, and you want it. I just says, okay, I'm gonna get better at this. You know, I'm not a natural at it back in the day when you could be a natural. Now I guess you can Google this and become a natural.
Yes.
But I says, I'm going to do my best and try to be like him. He was
You've obviously done
a great mentor. He was a great mentor, yeah.
Definitely. You wouldn't be here without him,
yeah.
But you've been obviously doing things great yourself. Yeah. What separates you? Put it this way. Two questions. One, there's huge differences in the travel agent business from 2019, from 1979.
Right.
How do you stay afloat with all of the different...
Well, you know, I'll never forget it. It was about 2003, and we had gone through a major change here. The start of the change in this industry was not the 9/11. A lot of people blame it on 9/11 in my industry. It was 1998. I'll never forget. We got a fax from one of the airlines, and one of the airlines says, if the ticket is $500 or $2,000, you will only make $50 a ticket. If a one-way is $250 or $2,500, you'll only make $25. And I'll never forget, I came out and I brought this fax to him. He used to sit right behind me here. And I says, Dad, what is this? Because it was written where you needed, Frank, like a Philadelphia lawyer, the way it was structured. And he looked at it and he says, he had a little bit of an Italian accent, my dad. He says, that's okay. We just won't use Delta Airlines. Well...
Was it only Delta?
On that Friday afternoon, it was only Delta.
Okay.
And I looked at him straight in the eye, and like I said, he was always right, and I was always wrong. I says, listen, now I'm going to tell you something. On Monday morning, they are all going to follow suit. This is something that's changing. He says, no, it's impossible. They know that we have to make a living. I turned to him, and I looked at my wall of Corvettes, of little cars, and I said, you will owe me a Corvette. If this comes true, that they all follow suit. He says, you have a deal. On Monday morning, Frank, when I went into a room where it was faxes and not emails, there were more faxes on the floor from United, American, you name it, airline, Lufthansa, Alitalia, telling us that we would be capped. And it was the beginning of a huge change. A huge change in this industry, and I'll never forget it. We had to lay off people, and it just changed the structure of this business. And that's when you started to see the decline in agencies. So by 2003, I never forget, there was a young gentleman about Rocco's age trying to teach me the computer. We were going to an internet-based type of thing. And I think he saw the frustration in my face as the older guy with the younger gentleman. And he says, Mr. Canena, he says, you look frustrated. I says, yeah, I am. I don't think this is going to last much longer. He says, no. He says, you got a good personality. You need to put your arms around this. You could be really good at this. I kind of went home and I thought about it. And sure enough, Frank, what I started to do was, what I have to do is become more of a one-on-one. If a Frank DePiro can't come to 7418 West Belmont, I'm going to go to his house. I'll be more personal. So a lot of times I am probably working 12-hour days and I'm going to people's houses at night. And I'd become more of a specialist, personalized, but that's what's made the difference.
So that's how you separate yourself from the guy just going online and looking up
whatever these different sites
are and just booking it.
Exactly. Sure. And I want to see, you know, are we comparing apples to apples? If something happens to you on that trip in Aruba or Italy, does this talk back to you, meaning the computer? It doesn't.
It does not.
No.
So now you're saying if something happens and I'm out there, I call you.
Call me. Exactly.
Yeah. You still got a lot of people going to Italy?
Oh, yes. Yes. The good following. I wish he was alive to see it. You know, a lot of people thought when he passed that I would give up the Italian market. And now.
But you didn't.
No. It's been one of my main cogs. Yeah, I love it.
And when I ever get down, I'm going to write a bucket list for Italian Americans. This is one of my goals.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the whole list, but number one on the list, on the bucket list for Italian Americans, for every Italian American, without a doubt, is to visit Italy once in their lifetime.
For sure.
I think it's a shame and a sin if they don't go there once.
I'm with you 1,000,000%.
They need to see Italy. They need to see where it started for their families.
Sure.
To see the incredible history, the accomplishments, the beauty, the way of life. They need to.
You're giving me goosebumps just talking.
I wish we could have there should be like a promotion with the country of Italy.
Sure.
To get every Italian American.
To go see.
Can you imagine how many millions of people that would be traveling there?
Exactly. Yeah.
And they really should. So that's a whole other thing.
That's a motivating
bucket
thing.
List. Yes. All right. Tell us about you have this hockey background. Now, was this as a player and then a coach?
Well, it starts pretty much.
Because I can't skate.
Okay. That's okay. But you were probably a good football player.
I played other sports. I really was not. I love sports.
Yeah.
And I never was really into hockey. And I think it was probably the lack of the ice skating and the lack of. It was kind of a difficult thing to play in the streets. I mean, you could. And we did a little.
Yeah.
But I've learned to appreciate it more as I got older.
Yeah, it was here. You know, and a lot of people won't remember this. In the late 60s, early 70s, I started playing hockey in the late 60s. I was about 7, 8 years old when I first put on a pair of skates. And we would find like little patches of ice, ponds and everything. And then I'll never forget, in the early 70s, there used to be a place called Community, which was a department store, which was across the street actually from Ivana's place.
Right, no, I remember Community.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is now Marshall's, that area.
Correct.
There was a small outdoor rink called, it was called Selk's Field. And they would have outdoor hockey there. And we waited for days like this. And I started playing there like in the late 60s through 72. A big inspiration for me was the legendary goaltender here in Chicago, Tony Esposito. Another Italian, American. I mean, there was, at the time when you were a kid,
there was quite a few Italian Americans
hockey. Playing the game. Yeah, there were some great.
I felt like it was soccer on ice.
Yes.
In a sense.
Good comparison.
Good
comparison.
So, we excel at many things.
Yeah. From there, I met a really nice guy who was my coach, who was a trustee here in Harwood Heights. His name was Stan Giallo. And Stan was my first coach with a team called the Harwood Heights Bruins. From there, I went to go play at Holy Cross. It was a club team.
Did they have a hockey team?
Yeah, they had a club team there.
Really?
And I played there all 4 years. I was the goaltender there for all four
years. Oh, you were a goaltender.
Yeah, goaltender. And I wanted to be Mr. Esposito in the worst way. And then from there, I played a season and a half at Loyola. Met another great coach there, a guy by the name of Jerry Pfeiffer. And he was honest enough to tell me, Mr. Canena, hang it up. Your legs are horrible. Meaning I had a bad knee injury when I was in high school. But I played 1 year there.
Oh, that's great. You got to play in college.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't see much action. I saw 3 games that first year and basically was the punching bag for Pratt. But again, had that. Like you said, that chance to play college. And then
did you start coaching immediately or later on?
I became the goaltending coach here at Holy Cross in 1980. And then I took a break. And then when my son was born in 87, I ran into some people that I knew at a place called the Northwest Chargers in Rolling Meadows. And I coached a travel team there for 10 years. And then again was approached by another gentleman named Dan Mulvey and got the high school job at Conant High School in Schaumburg. And then met a really nice Italian man named Matty Rossabillo, who was owned a travel club in Glen Ellen called the Glen Ellen Flames. And his kids were going to college. And he said to me, would you like to take a crack at there were 2 varsity teams. I would like to have you. And I was kind of on my way out, meaning the gas was running empty in the Canena tank. But I wanted to give it a chance.
So you coached?
I coached 2 years there.
At
DePaul University.
At DePaul University.
Yeah, from 2006.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so.
You were very busy with a lot of things.
There was a lot going on back then.
Now, no more coaching hockey?
No. My last game I coached was in 2009, and I coached it for Conant. That was the end of that. And then my son started coaching at Conant as the JV coach. And then now I just watch him coach at St. Viator. He's the junior varsity coach.
Well, that's wonderful.
At St. Viator, he's starting his 5th season.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Let's talk about Domenica Insieme.
Yes.
It's one of the last, correct?
Yes.
Is it the last Italian radio show?
You know what? I think so. I I know there are a few that are circulating out there.
Because I remember back in the day.
Oh, yes.
We used to have about 6, 7, sure.
Yes,
8
yes.
Italian radio shows. Now, for an hour, maybe, was it once a week, usually, typically?
Right. I mean, as you remember, when I was a kid growing up, Franca, it was Nicola Francone. There was Angelo Liberati. There was Serenaria Notario, the lady who would do it.
Gino Nuccio.
I think Gino's still doing it.
Does he still do the Italian radio theater used to do?
Right. And does a great job.
Paolo Ciminello?
Ciminello, yes.
There was quite a few. Spanol had a show.
Spanol, Ugo Fiore.
And now it's sad, but it's the way of...
So, going back to Dominican Seme, and the main host, of course, is Pat Capriati. Pat did the show basically for 25 years by himself. And like I says, it was 3.5 years ago when we kind of... I always kept in touch with him because I loved Italian music. So every once in a while I would say, hey, I heard you play this song, because his other thing is the Diamanti band. And we met up at one of the feasts here in town, and we did a little... He wanted me to come on the show for an interview. And I was doing a fundraiser for a gentleman that died that you might know, Robert Ramozzi from Villa Brunetti. He had passed away, and I went on the show to do a fundraiser. And from there, Pat called me up and he says, hey,
I want you to stay.
Yeah, you have an open invitation to come every Sunday. And kind of the opposite of what I told my dad, it's the Sunday I never left.
Right,
I've been coming for 3.5 years.
Okay.
It's great, and learned a lot from Pat.
So it's on what radio?
Right now. Radio-wise, if you're in your car or you just want to listen to radio and you're not too computer savvy, it comes on 1240 AM, which is WSBC. We're on from 9 to 10, where you pick it up on the radio. We start streaming from 9 o'clock every Sunday to 11, and where you could pick it up from the www.dominicainsieme.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of guests have you had?
Oh, it's been fun. We've had people like we had Vito Zaro's been on the show. We had Cooking with Nonna. Rosanna has been on the show, which was one of our great shows. We had Dr. Bruno, the heart specialist. I think it was Torso. I might be saying the La Corsa, the name of a heart surgeon. We had also...
I saw one with a bunch of high school kids.
Yes, Lynn Scolaro here in Chicago, the Italian in Mount Prospect.
She brought her kids.
Italian, and she comes April, brings the kids, and that's always a great
one. You play Italian music.
Yes.
I would assume you maybe give some news.
Yeah, we'll talk about what's going on in the community, like a lot of the...
But also Italian, like in Italy, too?
Yes, Pat sometimes brings up, he'll bring up soccer scores, he'll bring up stuff that's going on in Italy. Gets the newest songs, and now we just implemented a new format where now if it's Eros or even an old Johnny Mirandi, Pat finds the video to the song, and while you know you're streaming it,
you can see the music video as well.
You can see the music.
Oh, that's excellent.
This just happened about 3 weeks ago, and it's been going really well.
That's
and then, of
awesome.
Course, there's a little bit of bantering going on with me and him where he teases me and corrects me on my grammar, or I kind of make a joke of things that he's saying. So it's been a good chemistry.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And you have to prepare during the week for the upcoming show.
I'll be honest, Frank, it's kind of like today here where I was a little nervous before I saw you and Rob walk in the place. But it's off the cuff. Yeah, we just kind of wing it.
Well, that's nice. You enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
You're going to keep doing it for...
I'd like to keep doing it until he tells me get out of the studio.
I'm sure he won't do that.
But I've my Italian has. I mean, I understand it fully. I mean, because you have to be prepared when he's talking. But the Italian has gotten a lot better because
is that right?
I came from a where I would speak the Bari slang with my mother, and of course, Pat, like my father said, you're not going to be speaking Bari slang, especially if a Sicilian. We do kid around a little bit about, but big improvements by listening to him because. I think he speaks to probably one of the best I've ever heard.
Oh, he has a great voice.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, so Dominican Seme, they want to listen AM 1240, 9 a.m. Sundays
to 10 on
for
the
hour.
Side, right?
Or they go on the internet.
www.dominicanseme.com and they'll be able to pick up the link that we put out every Sunday morning, so you'll be able to catch it.
Not only listen, but watch.
Watch, right.
Watch as well. And then are they able to call in and request a song or maybe make a dedication?
Yes, they can message us. And we pick up the messages because we have
that day or during the week,
right there that day. And we, if you're in there, Frankie, you say, "Hey, Frank DePiro's on." He says, "Hi from Chicago." We'll say something, Frank DePiro.
Do you have like help with all this technical stuff, or is it just?
Yes, we have a gentleman, Kevin Anderson, who is actually Pat's son-in-law, who's done an amazing job. We also had a lot of help from a gentleman named Peter Bucci. Who did a great job in the original setup of this. I mean, and of course, Pat has become really savvy. And
well, that's
I kind of get in there where I want to make a suggestion and help out. But yeah, it's really neat because the studio is...
That's awesome. That's really great. And like I say...
And we would love to have you on one day for sure.
Thank you. I very much appreciate
this
that.
This is great what you're doing.
Well, thank you. No, and it's, as a community, as an ethnic group, let's be honest, we both know, Pat knows, we're on the decline.
Right.
So we need to do things to hopefully stop there. Like we're putting a dam so that the water just doesn't flow.
Exactly.
And we're washed up.
Sure.
Because I sure hope not.
I hope not. I know because it's going.
Definitely. I mean, there's a reason that there were 7 travel agents and now there's basically one. There's a reason that there was 7-8 radio stations and now there's basically one.
One. Right.
We're less. We're less.
We're less and less. Yeah.
That's sad. But. We don't want to get sad. So
no, we got to keep it going.
On a good note, Venus Travel. Give us the info for Venus. I want to go to Italy. I want to go, my God, I want to go anywhere outside of Chicago.
Yeah. You could go to our website, the www.venustravel.com. We have a Facebook page for Venus Travel, which has been very good. Again, the main thing, we do consultations, personal consultations.
That you will come out to them?
Come out, or you can come
out. Or if they want to come and live that real old-school travel agency, 7418 West Belmont in Chicago. And you want to give a phone number or an email?
Yes. The phone number, Frank, is 773-637-1110. The email is john@venustravel.com. We are a 24-hour emergency service travel agency. So if you're in Italy and it's 9 o'clock in the morning and you're waiting by the pier for your Capri boat ride and the guy doesn't show up, if it's 9 o'clock there and it's 2 o'clock here, if I'm doing the math right, because there's 7 hours ahead of us, please call us. We will get in contact with the person that's supposed to. Why weren't they met there? We make ourselves available 24/7.
That's the service.
Yeah, that's the service.
Absolutely.
Which our friend the computer
cannot do
with apps. Yeah.
Well, we're losing grasp of people and relationships.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a sad, unfortunate thing.
I mean, everywhere we go, I notice I look at pictures, Frank, of everywhere we go. And I noticed even at a wedding, I saw a picture of a wedding that my daughter went to. There were 8 people at the table, and there were 8 cell phones around them. And I just kind of scanned the table, and I'm like, wow. But, let's say even 10 years ago, we were not communicating like this by phone the way we are now.
Well, they say the young people, I don't know if they communicate well. Because
right.
Even amongst themselves, when young kids get together, they're all on their phones.
They're
actually texting each other. It's the craziest thing. So, definitely this travel agency is a personalized thing. And we can't lose sight of
that aspect. Yeah, I hope to keep it going. And the fear that I have, Frank, is that we just talked about it. Technology is always pushing, and you have to stay involved.
It is, but I think there'll always be a need for that personal level. I really do believe that. So I think you're here until you don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
Which
right.
is, that's a great, it's great to walk away in your
time. I got a feeling that me and you one day are going to take a one-way flight.
I'm ready for that because I definitely have that same feel as well. That small businessman thing, you're married to it. You have to be.
You have to be.
And you love it, and your life is there, and your blood and your soul and your passion.
Right.
But to a point, you want to do something else one day, and I would be getting a one-way trip anywhere.
I'm sure if me and you talk, we've probably missed a lot of things in our lives because of
that. Kind of. You pay sacrifice.
You pay sacrifice.
Yes. But, well, John, thank you so much for the interview. I love the fact you're a representative of our community. Keep the show going. Keep your business going.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, this is something, and I know, if you don't mind me saying, with Rocco here, I've always wanted to meet Dad because he came so well.
Oh, thank you so much. Is there a little liquor under your desk here you've been drinking or something?
No, but again, this is an honor to have you here in my office, and I hope it's the start of a great friendship and relationship.
I'm sure it will be.
And we are definitely going to have you down the road here, hopefully shortly.
Thank you. And I have to say, I talked to you on the phone twice before doing the interview, and I really thought to myself, wow, he's a great guy. I was very comfortable with you, and it was a pleasure to meet you and to do the show. So thank you so much. And as we like to leave our show with a little motto.
Okay.
Stay strong, stay sharp, and stay Italian. Thank you to all the listeners, and have a great Italian-American day.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes.
He had high hopes.
He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam. There goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes.